In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am a child of converts. My mother was a Missouri Synod Lutheran, my father a Southern Baptist. And in order to send all of us to Catholic grade schools, they converted to Catholicism. I'm not sure it ever took, but so there it is. But being raised by a former Lutheran who sometimes continued to remain a Lutheran meant that I was exposed to that Lutheran doctrine of grace. Sola scriptura, sola fide, sola gratiae. Scripture, faith, grace. And as a young man, I often struggled with, well, what is really the difference in that exhortation from Luther the heretic and what it is that we believe about the power and the reality of grace itself? St. Paul, the apostle, it could be argued, of grace, concludes, as he so often does, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. Grace poured out upon grace, he says. And in this particular passage, grace bears fruit. In truth, brothers and sisters, we must rely first, last, and always upon the outpouring of the graces that God indeed bestows upon us. Those actual graces he gives us throughout the day, those sacramental graces, especially the graces given to us in this holy sacrifice. But since we know that grace builds on nature, there also then is the requirement that we live in such a way that the grace given to us may truly bear fruit. But to understand really what it is that God bestows upon us requires of us a disposition of humility and a willingness to be molded by God. Grace is the very essence of God himself shared to us in order that we might be able to live the life that God wants us to live. The things that God asks of us, that he demands of us, he does not set us up for failure. Quite the opposite is true. He gives us his very life, his very self, in order that we might have success. But we have to cooperate with that. And cooperation truly begins not only in what it is that we do, but more importantly, maybe as St. Paul himself says, by the grace of God, I am who I am, that we truly understand who we are, both in our successes and triumphs, but also in our failures and in our sins. And to bring all of that in humility before God and allow God to be the one who sifts through that, who forgives us of our sins and uses our gifts and talents as he himself sees fit. That requires not, again, just the conformity of my outward actions, but an interior disposition that says, I give all and everything into the hands of God. This is not an easy task. It has never been an easy task. And even those who are our Lord's intimates still found it difficult at times to follow after and to be obedient to him. So there is no reason for us to despair in our failure, but nor is there any reason for us to remain in our failure. When we do sin, we must come and approach the throne of mercy, seek reconciliation through the sacrament, and the graces given there that do reconcile us, that do forgive us, that restore us, to then take advantage of those graces, because we also know that the sacrament not only heals us of the sins for which we are guilty, but gives us the strength we need to not enter into those sins again. And then in my daily life, moment by moment, doing the things that God asks us to do. If you will permit me just a moment of personal self-reflection, in the last several weeks we have seen already here in the church, the rectory as well, what it is when we can have this place to ourselves and the abundant graces that have been bestowed upon us, because now in some sense very truly this is our home, being able to take root and to find stability. But beyond just merely the cosmetic changes which were needed and necessary and had to happen, there has been, I believe, truly in a very short period of time, a spiritual transformation, a greater peace and a greater joy, because we're no longer on a warlike footing, if you will, constantly needing to be vigilant against our enemies who do indeed prowl about the world seeking the ruin of our souls. They are real and they are true. But how blessed we are to have, maybe for a time, a respite from this disposition of being pugilistic with the world. We must rejoice in the graces that have been bestowed on us. We must give thanks to God continuously for what it is that He is doing. A church that is full, at times even now overflowing. All of this manifestation of if we do what God asks us to do in the way that God asks us to do it, He rewards those who are faithful to Him. I have often said it is simple, and it really is actually that simple. Do what the Lord commands. Most especially in those moments of difficulty where we don't always know, when we have to put out into the deep and we might be afraid of failing, is at those moments especially that we double down and call upon the Lord and have grace, allow grace rather, put out upon us and respond to the will of God as He Himself commands of us. The signs of the times was a line used at the Second Council of the Vatican to read the signs of the times. It was often overused, but there is some wisdom there to look around and to see what is happening and to rejoice in the blessings that have been given to us. Indeed, there have been a difficult road to roll in order to be where we are. And we can anticipate there will be other obstacles that we will have to encounter, other obstacles that we will need to overcome. But we keep in mind what it is that has been given to us, so if and when those obstacles present themselves, it's not our disposition to fear, or to doubt, or to turn inward, but to remember God's generosity and the power of His grace, and relying upon that grace to continue to move forward. To be clear, brothers and sisters, this is not an easy task. And so I don't say this to gloss over all of the difficulties we have encountered, both collectively and individually. But the things of men can never stifle that which God wants to happen. And we who seek to live on and with according to the will of God must truly give Him thanks when He makes it clear all the signs that He bestows upon us of that grace and favor. And then rededicate ourselves to commit to that grace, allowing that favor to truly permeate us, motivating our actions and providing our hearts and our souls with peace and joy. Our gospel from St. Mark, yet again, is the Lord curing the deaf and the dumb who come to Him, knowing He has the power to transform them. But as always, the Lord reminds us that this transformation, again, is not just the outside of cup and dish, but the interior life as well. And therein lies the power of God's grace. We are who we are, both weak and broken, also healed and raised up by the power of God. But the grace of God, as it was in St. Paul, so it is in us individually and collectively, is far from fruitless, but is a bearing fruit 50, 60, and 100-fold. For all of this grace, let us give thanks to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.